I'll try to keep Short Sunday short. I guarantee you I'll keep Short Sunday short. I just have a few thoughts this afternoon, words of encouragement, and maybe a little bit better understanding about humility. You know, in Numbers, the 12th chapter and verse 3, it says there that Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And you know about the story of Moses and who he was. He was a leader, but he had some issues with his leadership abilities. God thought that he was the most humble man that was on the face of the earth. There's no doubt that God recognizes humility in us. James, the 4th chapter and verse 10, he says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." There's a recognition there by God for someone who is humble. Proverbs, the 16th chapter and verse 19 says, "Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Better to have a humble spirit with the lowly man than to have the riches of the spoil. Did you recognize or realize that humility is the exact opposite of pride? 180 degrees different. Humility has a better connotation to it. Proverbs 13 and 33 says, "Before honor is humility." How do I then become like Moses, the most humble man that was on the earth? How do I then look like Jesus in my humility? I'd like for us to consider a couple verses from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to specifically look at 3 and 4, but I'd like to read 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. The Scripture says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'm persuaded that these few verses through here exhort us on humility, on how we should live as humble Christians, how we can become more humble, and what that looks like, what the picture of humility is for us as Christians. The first thing I want to look at verses 3 and 4 specifically, and let's just consider these two verses today in the context of the reading. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. I don't know about you, but I'm selfish. I have my way of thinking. I have my opinions. And I have my own ambitions, right? And I don't think any of us are different from that. But God tells us, don't let anything be done in this manner. Don't do things out of your selfish ambition. If I try to define that selfish ambition, it makes me think of a premeditated desire. I've looked at something and I think that if I do this or I say this, how's it going to benefit me? How is it going to bless me? And that's not what Paul's teaching the brethren here or us today. What we look to do or to say should always have the mindset of serving someone else. Not having a selfish ambition, but having a selfless ambition. Conceit, the word conceit, I think, could be defined, if you will, to self-thinking. Thinking about me, thinking about my own desires, thinking about my own opinions on what I believe is right, wrong, or indifferent. How many of us think before doing things? We have to, don't we? We have to think of the consequences that would come from doing something before doing it. And we have to think about what my effect is going to be upon somebody before doing something. I believe that's what Paul's trying to teach the brethren. Think about what you're doing before you do it. Think about the good things and not the bad. Is what I am going to do going to benefit me? Will I feel better? Will I look better? Will I get recognition? Will I benefit from what I am doing? That's selfish ambition. That's thinking about what I want and not about what others want. That is not a picture of humility. That's the exact opposite. That's proud, being proud of who I am and what I am, not of being a man of God. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In lowliness of mind. Let's go to Romans 12, verses 3 and 16. Romans 12 and 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself higher than you ought to think, but soberly. Back in Philippians there, he talks about us not thinking high of ourselves, but thinking about others, doesn't he? What am I going to do? How am I going to speak? Selfish thinking is thinking of me. It's not thinking of others. Romans 12 and 16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. There's that conceit there. Wise in your own opinion. Don't associate with those who are not humble, I guess. Do not set your minds on high things. I guess it just really humbles me to think about God recognizing a man and exalting him because he had nothing to do with self, but rather had everything to do with selflessness. That's what he wants from us. That's this picture of humility. Is man giving his all? Because he talks a little bit later on there in Philippians about the man that did give his all. Humbled himself to the extent that he left the majesty of heaven, if you will, and became like us. And then just died for us because that's what God wanted him to do and because he loves us. So recognize that we need to not have selfish ambition, but think about others. Esteem others better than yourself. That's a picture of humility. Verse 3 then, again, instead of selfishness, have selfless ambition. Have a lowliness of mind. The NIV says there, in humility, value others better than yourself. In humility, value others better than me. So if I'm trying to practice humility in my own life, I'm going to have to work at trying to help you, understand you, guide you, give to you. It's going to be about who? Not me. It's going to be about you. It's going to be about the person we meet on the street. Practicing humility to a complete stranger is showing them grace and showing them that you care about them. And it's no different for any of our brethren, too. Giving to them completely all the time. Having that lowliness of mind. Let's go to Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Here's some characteristics of the man of God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another as forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Value others better than yourself. Show them humility. Bear with them. Forgive them. And most importantly, love them. That's a picture of humility. Without love, it's hard to be humble. Remember, love is the greatest of the gifts that God gives us. And without that, we cannot be humble towards our brothers and sisters and others around us. So back over to Philippians 2 again, looking at verse 4. Philippians 2, 4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others." His own. Don't look out only for your own. Only for your own. I'm persuaded that there are things we have to take care of in our lives, right? We have to take care of me to some extent. There's some needs that have to be fulfilled within my life. But don't look out just for me. Not only just yourself, but look out for others. Also for the interests of others. There's a need to take care of me, but 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love does not seek its own. Take note. Look around. Be aware. Have concern. Have the ability to look beyond the end of your nose and see those people that are around you that you can become humble towards, that you can help with in one manner or another. This little short talk could become probably a 6 or 8, 10 week class because there's so much stuff that we need to learn and live when it comes to becoming humble and becoming like Moses and like Jesus Christ. A couple more scriptures. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. Bearing with one another. Caring for one another. Being concerned about one another. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Your humility is going to lead to good things. It's going to lead to edification to those that you are showing your humility to. Bearing the scruples of the weak, the weaknesses, the burdens of the weak. And it's not, again, for my benefit, but it's for their benefit. It's not to please me in any manner whatsoever. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 10 and 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So as Paul states there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, but also the interests of others, he's just reiterating what he said to the brethren at Corinth. Think about others. Serve them. And be humble. Peter does give us some words. I guess I had one more scripture here in 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. So what is the benefit? There's always a benefit when you're doing God's will, isn't there? The benefit of humility, becoming a picture of humility, is that he will build you up. He will lift you up in your time. When your time is ready, he will exalt you. He will bless you. When that time is, I don't know. It may be that time when God gives us a reward in heaven. But we have to recognize the importance of humbling ourselves. Not thinking of self, but thinking of others and out of love, then, practicing that act of humility day in and day out. So this wasn't an art class, and you can tell that I'm not an artist, but I'm going to draw just a little picture here in my picture frame. I thought that was pretty good myself. So usually pictures, we take pictures of who? Yeah, probably us, family members, you know. Here, we're going to fix this guy up right? Yeah. Okay. The picture of humility, if this is you, you should not be here. Because the picture of humility does not have me in it. Humility is not about me whatsoever. Humility is about those around me. The humility is about taking self out of the picture so that we can serve others and that we can bless them. And God will exalt us when it's time. So I guess it's a challenge to us all, including myself, number one, is try to become less in the picture, become more a picture of humility. So if you have a need this afternoon to be encouraged and challenged to become more humble in your walk with the Lord, or if you have the need for the Lord, today's the day, because tomorrow may not come. You and the Lord may come, or you may get in a wreck down here at the stoplight on Vandalia Drive. So if you have a need this afternoon, won't you come as we sing the song of encouragement?